comments, just things to think about that were brought up after this year. Just a couple of the quick ones. First of all, again, we've spent some time discussing Chagigas Yedaled. We've definitely examined. I can tell you, I'm giving you my take on it, that for the Rambam, that while for the Baalei Tosfos, Chagigas Yedaled is a kind of a double Din D'Rabbanan, the way they understand the Gemara and Ayin Amud Aleph, that it's basically an investment in Achilas Korban Pesach Besova, which itself is a investment in worrying about Shviras Atzem. If anything, as I said before, that projects Shviras Atzem as some sort of really, problematic, not just a Stamani, sir, but probably if you need so much of a Siag for either. Whereas I was suggesting that everything about the Rambam's treatment of Chagigas Yedaled, points to the fact that he sees it, number one, as a Din D'Oraisa, number two, as having a very fascinating status. Because again, there's no denying that there are years when there's no Chagigas Yedaled, and that the Gemara calls it not a Chova, and that the Gemara in Chagiga calls it a Rishus. But the idea that that could still be a Kiyum D'Oraisa and play a central role, as it does, is, I think, very consistent in the Rambam's complex thinking, but also consistent in his view of the day of Korban Pesach being a kind of a quasi-Yom Tov, and therefore this expresses itself with a quasi, Chagiga. And the language Chagiga, as I say, works much better for the Rambam, etc. However, just a couple of quick points connected to the connection to that. So Avrami was asking me after this year, and then Yoni Abroth as well. If I thought I'd made this point, but if I didn't, I want to make it now clearer. And as just to highlight the curiosity that while the Rambam does count the Iser of Halanas Basar Chagiga, and again, obviously it's not covered under the regular Din of Nosar, like Korban Pesach, it has its own separate lav. He doesn't count the mitzvah of Chagigas Yedaled independently. And that's a curious decision. So I think that that is a very good ha'ara. I thought I made it, but if I didn't, I'm glad that both of them brought it up. I think it's a really good ha'ara. The reason that the Ram doesn't count Chagigas Yedaled independently as a mitzvah is, number one, there's no pasuk in the Torah that explicitly identifies and requires Chagigas Yedaled. Again, if you look at the sugya, the sugyas that deal with Chagigas Yedaled, they are all being medayik, from the psukim, that there's some extra missing, mysterious, reference in the Torah Shebichtav, which can't refer to Korban Pesach, but is referring to something, that is connected to it. And that's the derivation that there is Korban Pesach. So the effect of this is dual. Number one is it's very hard to count it as a mitzvah saseh, when it's not mefurish bakra at all. But I think the bigger idea is, why does the Torah, which according to Chazal, according to the Mesorah, according to Torah Shebaal Peh, makes reference to Chagigas Yedaled, why don't they explicate it? And why don't they formulate it in a positive way as a requirement? Why do they just assume it as an adjunct to Korban Pesach and then discuss independently the prohibition about, leftovering it, essentially, if I can make that into a verb. So, I think the answer is perfect because, and it goes to the second point of why the Rambam doesn't count it a bit saseh. But again, not technically, it's hard to count it as a bit saseh, not only because it's not mefurish bakra, and there's no pasuk even implicitly that speaks of it as a requirement, but because in the end of the day, it's not a chova. That's explicit in the Gemara. There are years, you know, 27% of the years, there is no, you know, it's not b'Shabbos, it's not b'Tumah, it's not even, you know, b'Muat. So, which is maybe even, which means it doesn't have sufficient counter pressure, right, to overcome the prohibitions of Shabbos and of Tumah. Okay, that, you know, maybe you could explain that. I mean, because you always have a conflict, so you have to weigh. But again, apparently it's only, you know, required when it facilitates, when it's something that contributes, you know, to Korban Pesach. So again, that's just, of course, that's an unbelievably peculiar, you know, rare, probably not just rare, not just exotic, but maybe singular, you know, capacity for a din d'oraisa, such a contingent din d'oraisa, right? So that's another reason why it's not counted as a mitzvah saseh. The much bigger chiddush is that when it exists, it's a kiyum, an akim d'oraisa, and a kiyum d'oraisa, which triggers its own, you know, status of nosar, meaning that isn't universal and that isn't included under the rubric of Korban Pesach itself. So it's a tafel that in, when it enhances Korban Pesach, but it's not a chova, it's a kiyum. So again, why does the Torah, you know, formulate it that way? Why does the Rambam count it that way? Why are the dinim, you know, so unusual, right? Unprecedented. But the answer to all of that is because what it signifies is unprecedented. A holiday that, you know, applies because of a korban on the erev, you know, in the middle, and then pushing back a little because of it, maybe even towards the beginning of the day. Yes. So I think, again, that the choice of the Torah's, you know, treatment of it, the understanding of the halacha's status of it, the Rambam's, you know, minyan and mitzvos decisions, all of these, again, I don't know whether I would have come up with them if I was constructing, you know, Meirosh, but in reconstructing, I think that the all of this, you know, is just, each one is reinforcing, you know, of the other. So that, I think, is an important point that was brought up, and I wanted to emphasize it, excuse me, and broaden it a little bit. In a similar fashion, yeah.
Aren't both those points, meaning not mefurish bakra and also not chova, equally true of the lo sase? What, like, what makes the lo sase of chagiga unique? That it should be counted.
Well, because that is a chova once you're in that situation.
Yeah, and the achilas hachagiga is a mitzvah once you're in the situation too.
It's a mitzvah, but it's never a chova. And it's always, the fact that it's not even the, you know, and again, as a mitzvah saseh, as a kiyum, it's contained, it's so tough, you know, but again, the mu'at and the merubah part, you know, also are part of that. However, once it is, I would say this way, as a lav, it's, you know, once it exists, it's a lav, and I would even say more, once it exists and it's already been established as enhancing, you know, the Korban Pesach, so that gives it the stature that makes it, you know, also its own nosar. Right? So I think it's a very good point, but I think that's the answer. Right?
Also, it also seems like from the lo sase perspective that it's almost like a chiddush that we're giving chagiga, siyadalet, a din of nosar, which is interesting because you may have thought it's not a korban.
Right.
Kamash malon, right.
Right. I mean, since it's a reshut, I mean, certainly the fact that it's not, there's no gili mils that should be included in other nosars or in the nosar of Korban Pesach is certainly also because, well, you have this quasi status who says it's enough, you know, to trigger, you know, that kind of a lav and that kind of an onesh. So I think that's true also. Nosaf to what I'm saying, which is it's already here and it's enhanced you know, that's it's been determined to enhance, you know, this this particular Korban Pesach, and as such, it now has that stature too. So both because it now has the stature, and because, you know, it's a chiddush that it does, and therefore it wouldn't normally, you know, be under the rubric of something else. I think for both reasons, you know, counting it separately as a lav is justified. So good. I think it's all is like further developing, you know, the principle here. So that's point number one. Number two, very closely connected to it. Like when I speak about Chagigas Yedaled, you know, as a separate topic, I typically bring up two other points. I don't know whether we're going to get the opportunity, so I'll just mention them very quickly. Now, one is that, you know, some people understand that the conversation, you know, with in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim with the Chacham is actually about the relationship between Korban Pesach and Korban Chagiga, you know, and that's fascinating because, you know, again, you have this Korban which, you know, only bring 27% of the time you don't even bring, you know, and it's a rishos and everything that we've been saying about it. And like that's a prominent part of the discussion of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to the Chacham of all people. A. And B, of course, you have a very interesting discussion in Bali Tosis in Psachim later on Kuf Yedaled, Omid Beis, where the Gemara, you know, the Mishnayos talk about, you know, Shnei Tavshilin, you know, and we have that on our Seder plate, as we know. And the Gemara says that, what are these Shnei Tavshilin? My Shnei Tavshilin, Om Ravuna Silka V'Aruza, Rav Havim Mahadra Silka V'Aruza, Hov V'Nofet Mipumid Ravuna Marav, Vashi Shmamin Ravuna Rav, Leisle D'Chayishla. Okay. Anyways, what is all this? So the Gemara goes on to say, that star shnei minei basar echad zecher pesach veechad zecher chagiga. So, you know, parallel to our discussion of korban pesach, you know, bizman hazeh, you know, in Isser Malacha, Tosas asks the question: maybe the seder plate, you know, when pesach is chalios b'shabbos, should reflect the fact that you don't bring it b'shabbos. Tosas, you know, actually, the first Tosas is interesting too. Shnei minei basar. So Tosas talks about whether the, you know, one should be tzli and one mevushal. Tosas says pirush rach tzli zeichel pesach mevushal zeichel chagiga. This is not our topic. Veloni here with the kamelon keben tema dein chagiga chalasal tzli. It's fascinating that Tosas thinks that you pass in like ben tema. Of course, ben tema highlights, you know, the adjunct role of Chagiga to the Korban Pesach. He says, V'loni hira dekayim alon keben tema. So it should be tzli. So he says, Anachanami l'cheinir travayim v'vushalim. So this is an interesting argument on the Paschal like ben tema. Anyways, but that aside, the next Tosis says, Kishachal yudal v'yos b'shabbos ein tzarech rak bishol echad dechagiga sedal in edochas ha-shabbos. Right, it's in this context that the Rush has this whole discussion of the Rimi Karvil. The Rosh says, no, not true. There's always Chagiga Sidalid. Only question is when you prepare it, whether you prepare it on your Dalid or you prepare it on your Gimel, because it's really Nechutz. And nonetheless, the Gemara still says it's not a Chova, because I guess the Zman's not a Chova. So even for the Rosh or the Rimi Karvil, you know, I would say Chagiga is more prominent, but it's still, you know, Tafel and has a status. But anyways, Tosas and the Rush are dealing with the question, like, do you put Shnei Tavshilim on your Seder plate if Pesach is Chalios B'Shabbos? So initially Tosas says no. And then Tosas says, Miu amarid mikomokom in l'chalek, d'dami l'chova im hayunu manichim milaso Shnei Tavshilim. So this is really a fascinating idea. The first point Tosas makes is, if you don't put the Chagigas Yedaled on your Seder plate, I mean the Zecher, or the Zecher, you know, on Shabbos, then the implication is that when you do, it's because it's a Chova. And that's not really true, because it's only a Rishus. Meaning it's important not to overstate the status of the Chagigas Yedaled. That's an important principle. So by actually not being so tied to the practice, you better kind of reflect or convey, you know, this unusual in-between status. Then he says, "V'gam yesh lacho shem leyatsu b'shar psachim," right? Moreover, what, you know, if you don't do it on, you know, on this Pesach, then maybe you won't do it on the next Pesach. Vein shum chashashim anu osin. As for the downside, you know, af agav de lo tzorech, the lake of the mecha shami bani samek beisam migin shiomer shtakad asinu zeicha lekagiga b'shabes, pashtanam min akriva b'shabes, the krova mesural is reason, ukshibana moshe v'aron, yehei manu, ukshibana moshe v'aron yehei manu, lake of the mitai, achaba, aniach milasa shnei tavshilim, ein mazirin also. So this is, again, a very fascinating, not the most important issue in the world, but it's, you know, again, a very interesting discussion. And the considerations are all over the map, right? You know, we're worried that, you know, if you don't put it there, people will think that when you do put it there, it's a chova. Or we're worried if you don't put it there, that people will leave it out next year. Those are two opposite considerations. And then this fascinating, you know, and are we worried about, you know, Shemi Bani Beis HaMikdash, and then you'll bring the Chagigas Yadalad when you shouldn't? You know, Baruch Hashem, Moshe V'Aaron are going to be there to help us. That's also a very striking formulation. Anyways, very interesting. And then, of course, the Rush and the Rimi Korvil, very interesting as well. But the point I just want to make is there's no hint of any of this in the Rambam. The Rambam discusses, you know, the Seder plate and the Shnei Tavshilin, you know, he doesn't get into any of this. Now, is that because, you know, it's obvious you wouldn't have it, or it's obvious that, you know, the considerations that Tosfos mentions? I don't think so. I think it's because, you know, Lishitoso, again, he quoted Chagig alongside Korban Pesach when it was superfluous when it came to Isser Malacha, because one is enough. But the whole point, as we were explaining it, was, and he quotes it first, right, is that the Chagiga part, and that's the connection to the Chol HaMoed, highlights the Yontif aspect of Korban Pesach. And the whole perspective of the Rambam, at least for Tosfos, you could say, or most, assuming Tosfos goes by the mainstream Tosfos view, it's a double Durabanan, or double Siag, I should say. Right? But for the Rambam, this is Din D'oraisa, and everything we've been discussing. So I think for the same reason that the Chagiga and the Korban Pesach, it doesn't matter whether it's Bizman HaZeh, Shelo Bizman HaZeh, Nochas Yom Tov. It doesn't matter whether it's Bizman HaZeh, Shelo Bizman HaZeh, Nochas Chavetz, and Tzipor Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because the principle of Chagigas Yedaled is applicable whether you bring it or not. And therefore, it should always be on the Seder plate. Not because of, you know, Shema next year, you know, and not because of, you know, taking it off implies too great. No, it belongs on the Seder plate, you know, Bizman HaZeh, even though we're not bringing Korbanos. We wouldn't have brought the Korban in the Beis HaMikdash, because it highlights that, you know, Yom Yedaled leading to Tesvav, and the nature of Korban Pesach is the kind of Korban, right, that is accompanied by Chagigas Yedaled. To me, that's a double pasha. And similarly, again, the whole discussion with the Chacham, if indeed it's about Chagigas Yedaled, which some of them, or the relationship between them, as some of the Mefarshim explain, right, is Emafti Rachar Pesach Afik Koman. That's part of what it is. Chilal Asova, the need for Chagiga, and so on and so forth, is because, again, you know, the Chacham really understands the nuances of Tzipor Yetzias Mitzrayim and of Korban Pesach, and of this entire complex structure. And, you know, for him, what better thing to talk about than, you know, the Chagiga Sedal and its relationship to Korban Pesach, and the more complex and unusual and unprecedented you know, I wouldn't say the better, just because, not for the sake of, you know, intellectual, you know, intrigue, but per se, although there is a lot of that, I hope. But because, again, this is really like, you know, a point that brings it all out. You know, the Chacham can really appreciate that. Okay, it enhances his Sibritzius Mitzrayim. Okay, so that is something that I just wanted to add. There are other things, of course, to add as well. But this is the main point. One other thing just to mention, a couple of other things, people, but Moshe brought to my attention also, we were talking about the Baal HaMor, and especially his formulation that Bizman Azeh, you know, not only, is there no Isser Malacha, you know, as there was based on the bringing of the Korban Pesach, but that it reverts to the equivalent of Shar Arve Shabbosos v'Arve Yom Tov, which I thought was a very important formulation and a good foil for my view in the Rambam, you know, to disagree most emphatically, meaning the Rambam will say, we don't care about Bizman Azeh, you know, with respect to this issue, because the truth is still the truth. Although, again, one could have argued, one could have said that the Korban Pesach's presence generates the Yom Tov. Certainly the Korban Pesach intensifies the Yom Tov. No question about that. But okay, so it sounds like the Baal HaMor is saying this is completely an artificial thing, and therefore it's completely neutralized, and you go totally back to a regular Yom Tov without it. One could have said something in between. Anyways, Moshe brought up the fact that if you look at the Baal HaMor and look at the Ritva, you have language there, Moshe?
Yeah, so the Baal HaMor, after saying that Dino Kishar Avi Shabbosos Vishar Avi Yom Tovim, says, B'makom Shenagu Lasos Osin Lefi HaMinag.
Which means
that even then in the place, so it can be one of two things, but it sounds like that even when there's no reason of the Korban Pesach anymore nowadays, you just go after whatever the Minag is.
Yeah.
So that could just
means, at least that the Baal HaMor holds, what's significant about it, I just didn't catch this point as an issue, is that even though we're going back to Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, right, we're doing that on the post-Chatzos status of things. But that doesn't affect the pre-Chatzos, right, you know, Minhagim, as opposed to?
So the Ritva, when he quotes the Baal HaMor, says, V'kasar ben Ezrach Yizel, ki lefiyah yirshami achshav she'ina karban dino kishar yom tovim, v'chol hayom tali b'minot.
Yeah, so I didn't catch that. I didn't notice that, but I think it's a great ha'ara. The two views within the Baal HaMor is the Baal HaMor's, you know, reversion only with regard to Yisr Malacha, Lacha Chatzos, or even with regard to Minach. So this again touches on, you know, we started the topic, you know, by discussing Rabbeinu David, you know, and the Daf Beis Amud Beis part of it, you know, which is what is the relationship between, you know, the Minag and the Isser, you know, La'achar. And one of the things we're trying to show is that Rabbeinu David splits them. Now, again, the idea that there are two different dinim and that they're splittable, you know, is very reasonable. We thought that Rabbeinu David's chiddush was that not only does he split them, but he finds a way to kind of, you know, project the Yom Tov part, which is in a way more ambitious, you know, for the Minhag, you know, as opposed for the Isser Lachar Chatzos, and therefore he extends it to the whole day because it's a more expansive one. The second day in Rabbeinu David. But either way, the first assumption of Rabbeinu David before he even goes to the second Chiddush is that the Ha'ilchu Dekoy v'Ha'ilchu Dekoy. These are two different dinim. Whereas we saw that the Maram Chalava and the Ran, and then when it gets to the, you know, Achronim, the Pnei Yeshua, and maybe implicit in the Ramban, you know, in the Ravid, you know, and, you know, those who connect in the beginning of the Gemara, right, the Mishnah to the Gemara, because the Mishnah is talking about pre-Chatzos, the Gemara is talking about post-Chatzos, that kind of builds in the structures in the problem right there. That in any case, that there certainly is a group of explicit Mefarshim and maybe others implicit who think that there's a Kesher between the two, and that there would not be a Minag if there wasn't an Isser Malacha Lachar Chatzos, and that maybe even the Minag is then, you know, the extension, which is certainly what I think the Rambam is holding. We thought the Rambam held this even more than anybody else. but Pnei Yeshua thought it for others too. He's not necessarily focusing on the Rambam. So the two views within the Baal HaMor kind of reflect that issue. Can you still have the minug? You know, once you've cut out, the core, unique Isur Malacha? The answer is if it's just narrowly Korban Pesach, and if the minig is independent of that, it's not an expansion or extension even of that, then in theory, yes. Right? So that's a debate within the Baal HaMor. Again, the Baal HaMor has a shita, does seem to distinguish, and the Ritva makes the distinction, between the minhag and everything else. The other R I wanted to bring to everybody's attention was a couple of people mentioned to me, Josh originally, and then about three or four other people had mentioned to me over Shabbos, that the language of, the Mishnah is curious and interesting, especially in light of everything we've been discussing. Is it makom shenoagu lasos malacha or makom shenoagu lo lasos malacha? But sometimes when you talk about this sugya, you get confused because you're kind of your tongue, naturally, goes in one direction, but actually the formulation is the other. So does it really matter whether you say, the makom shenoagu is lasos or the makom shenoagu lo lasos? Maybe not. you have to say one or the other. But I do think that, especially in light of everything that we've discussed, maybe yes. Because the more you think that Isur Malacha is, Konum Chatzos in particular, is artificial and chiddush, and there's really no fundamental basis for it, because it's not, there's no yontif status, at all for the entire day. Or there's no yontif status before Chatzos, because you think that their achilek is a sharper, division, then the chiddush is all in makom shenoagu, lo lasos malacha, right? But if you take the view that this is a day, of quasi yom tov, certainly after chatzos, and for that reason, it's compelling to think that there are aspects of this even kodem chatzos, which is certainly what we're saying for the Rambam, again, and for maybe some others as well. And for the Rambam, that's why the formulation is Bamedvar Mamurim, to limit it. And for the Rambam, maybe Chagigas Yadalad, we don't know what his view is. If it's Nikrav Baboker and it's part of the story, that's, certainly part of it. And either way, according to the Rambam, the fact that he has this Mechudash reading, that the Gimel Malachos and the Hatchala and the Hafsaka and the Gemar, that all of that is, even according to the Mandamar, that there is no Isur Malacha Kodem Chatzos, which means that there is some Isur Malacha Kodem Chatzos Lekula Alma. Right. So then, that would change the way that you speak about all this. Okay? So I think that is a good horror. Okay. Now let's continue where we were. We were going through the Gemara.
Rebbe? Yeah. Ask a quick question. According to the Rambam, wouldn't the Lechora be a problem having Tainus Bechoros on Yod Daled if it's a quasi yuntif? I mean, certainly in Klei HaMikdash, he said by the Korbanos Eitzim,
I think we talked about that.
Oh, my mistake. Sorry.
Not a mistake. I don't have a really good answer, but I mean, that was kind of the Mishnah Melech's issue. Right? Did you see the...
No, I didn't see it.
Okay. The Mishnah Melech in Hilchos... Klei HaMikdash, the Rambam that you're talking about, Vav Tes, and the Yerushalmi, that's one of the questions that Mishnah Melech asks. He says, how come the Rambam omits, he assumes that Klei HaMikdash and Yom Tov are the same. That's the initial assumption. He doesn't ever really retreat from that. I was trying to make the case that they're not at all. But he was saying, how come the Rambam doesn't mention Hespe Vitainis? And not only that, but what do you do with the fact that Rav Sheshis was Dafka fasting on Pesach, on Erev Pesach, Sugadav Kufches Amud Aleph, and he adds that there's this minig of Tainus Bechor. He said that it should be also behest of a Tainus. If anything, you know, the Rambam seems only to call, you know, a personal contribution of a korban a minug in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash. Depending on whether you have the gears on the beginning, but certainly, you know, in the one for the rest of the tzibur and in halacha, what is it, yud, that's certainly minug. The question whether the gears of the minug on halacha tes that I think we mentioned. He says, so it's really strange and he doesn't have a good answer for it. Again, if the tainus is connected to the Kedushas Hayom of Korban Pesach in some way, then I think that's an answer to the question. So that would be my answer to the question. In other words, it's, you know, it also reflects, you know, the gravity of Korban Pesach and the moment of, you know, Asher Pesach. For that, you have to do a little work on, you know, why Rav Sheshis was fasting, and or if it's something that, you know, there's no eating and therefore you're not distracted from taking care of the details. If it's a kiyum, kind of a fast, which I think it is, then that answers it. But that was Mishra Malva's question. Okay. Let's go back to where we were. We were going through the Shagavatari of the Gemara. Okay. And we're going to have somebody else read. I think Simcha was reading last time, so we'll have somebody else. Ezra Wilds. So where were we? Oh, yeah, I wanted to make a quick comment. So the we were in the Shakavatari of the Gemara about Davar Maguna. So again, I don't want to get into this too much. We've already talked a little bit about it. The idea that this Gemara is very consequential in appreciating, you know, the concept of speech and especially articulation, that is a gift, that is what differentiates and elevates man. Again, I've said many times, articulation isn't just about expression of one's thoughts. You know, articulating, you know, like we're talking about the Akeda, right? To be motzi min hakoach al hapoel is also a process that enhances. And that's certainly true in language. When you think about something and then you have to express it, you know, both because you are, you know, transmitting it to others, and therefore that requires, you know, greater objectivity and greater clarity and greater, I guess, precision in order to be more persuasive. And again, to preclude, you know what you mean, but others don't necessarily. So in my opinion, the process of articulation itself is something that enhances, the precision of your thinking. Because it's motzi min hakoach al hapoel, but also because, you know, the audience, you know, refines, forces you to refine your own thinking and characterization of what it is that you're saying. And that's part of the, I would say that, you know, that higher level of thinking is singular to man and distinguishes him. But I would also add, I'm not sure if this is true, but I instinctively feel it's true, that the interactive element and the sense of responsibility that you have to articulate in a way that others can appreciate and not misconstrue, that's also a singular feature of man. So in a way, the Ruach Memalala, right, which is Unkelus's translation, both because of, you know, the social interaction element, the responsibility that includes, as well as the higher thinking mode that it requires, all of this makes speech and language and articulation kind of a davar shebikdusha. Maybe that's also why it's so important for these three reasons, and for the fact that it is a distinguishing characteristic, that it becomes so important that certain things in halacha be done, you know, bederech dibur. That we don't say, you know, there's a debate when we say here kedibur and when we don't. Also an interesting debate when we say, you know, ksiva kedibur. We talked about this, you know, when we were talking about a couple of years ago, for those who were here, you know, we did a little section on Birchas HaTorah, excuse me, whether or not you make a Birchas HaTorah on, you know, Hirhor, V'Hagisa V'Yom V'Laila, you know, the discussion of the Gra and other poskim. So I think for the sake of Chafsa Shel Torah, you have to put something out there objectively and, you know, be more actively involved in it or producing it. But also in terms of the quality and these other features and the association to Ruach Mimalala, maybe. Again, I'm thinking aloud. Even though it's Sunday, I guess. Not my fault, but these topics kind of, you know, intersect. So maybe the requirement of Dibur as opposed to Hirhur, again, Ksiva shares a lot, you know, with Dibur in terms of, you know, precise articulation. You could even argue that the written word, because it's more permanent, you know, requires even a greater level of responsibility and articulation. Certainly that is true for, you know, the published word. But again, the more you instantiate it in a permanent way. However, in terms of like immediate communication, it's less. It's more in some things and less in others. And that's a big debate, like Sfiras Omer, you know, is not Ayde Hirur, according to many. We just talked about Limud HaTorah, you know, both the Kiyum of Limud HaTorah and Birchas HaTorah. In both cases, there's a debate among the Achronim. What about Ksiva? excuse me. Kriyas Shema requires articulation. You know, Birchas Kohanim requires even Kol Ram. excuse me. Hearing it or saying it in a way that you can hear it, or that others can hear it, is not just about, you know, a measure in loudness. It is a measure, a gauge of, you know, how, I guess, strenuously, you know, the Heftza is present. But as I said before, also the extent to which, you know, you're talking not just about articulating, but influential articulation or impact, you know, articulation. And that may be, you know, in its own right. And as I say, in terms of involving, you know, a higher level of Tzelem Elokim, an important requirement. So, you know, I would also add that the Lashon HaKodesh may play a role in all of this. Machlokas Rabbi and the Chachamim, you know, the Kol HaTorah Kula B'Lashon HaKodesh Nemra, which things yes, the Mishnah and Sota, you know, which things yes and which things no, in terms of requiring Lashon HaKodesh, whether there's a lechatchila of Lashon HaKodesh, whether Limud HaTorah has a lechatchila of Lashon HaKodesh. Whenever there's a text, there's also the possibility, you know, kichsava of Lashon HaKodesh, because that was, you know, the original form and maybe the most precise form, you know, and again, highlighting Chafsa Shel Torah, but maybe also highlighting precision and the highest form of communication. So these questions about Hirhor, Ksiva, Lashon HaKodesh are issues that we should think about generally when we speak about Dibur, both in terms of, again, the level as well as the involvement of Tzelem Elokim, Ruach Memalala, Nefesh Chaya, in the process. So when the Gemara here speaks about Lashon Nekiya and also Lashon Katsara, and the Gemara seems to connect them, on the surface, you could have thought that, you know, one is about, you know, either precision or, you know, not wasting words, you know, value commodity. And the other is about, you know, crudeness and offensive use of language and, you know, the impact that that has or what it reflects. The fact that the Gemara links them, that they share in common, you know, this idea of the importance of language, you know, and that the, you know, Kedusha part of the precision, or the precision part of the Kedusha, and that the, you know, Kedusha, you know, reflected by elevated as opposed to, you know, crude language, offensive language, that these are two sides of the same coin is an important perspective. It's not obvious, not obvious at all. So we speak about, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam creating the world with mamaros, you know, or, you know, dibros, bedibur echad, you know, all of these things, you know, take on or assume kind of a new significance, you know, in light of this idea and perspective. It also, however, raises, you know, an interesting question, and that is, how much do you sacrifice, you know, for Lashon Nikia as opposed to Maguna, and for Lashon Kitzara as opposed to Aruka? Like, if there's an intrinsic value, you know, for the reasons that I've just, overlapping reasons I've just discussed, you know, in these considerations, like, where do you draw the line? So in a way, Tosis has, I mean, the Gemara has this discussion, like, you know, in terms of the relationship between Maguna and Kitzara. Like, how many extra, you know, words or letters, you know, will you, you know, and obviously, if you look at the Rishonim, and I want to get into the details now, you know, how Maguna is it and how much Aruka, you know, are you sacrificing, you know, become part of the equation. Okay, but in the Rishonim, you have an interesting issue here as well, and that is, will you sacrifice halachic precision, excuse me, to avoid, you know, Lashon Maguna or Aruka, right? That's something that you have, Ezra. Well, why do I say that we have that in the discussion in the Rishonim here?
Yeah, because Tosos is bothered why about Merkav and Mishkav.
Excellent, exactly. So, you know, again, you could look at this Tosis very narrowly as Avim Tomar V'yesh Lomar, which it certainly also is. But again, you could also appreciate, you know, that this touches on a huge, you know, topic, you know, one which is endemic to, you know, education and to, you know, and to public articulation. Okay, so what is the issue, Ezra? I gave you the excellent, but so now I'll explain the details. Tosis is bothered. The Gemara says that what? What's the background? We read already, so I don't need to read that again. That we use the language of?
Yes, by that we don't use the language of Merkav by women.
Yeah, for tznius reasons.
Yeah.
And yet the Gemara says that sometimes we do, right?
Yeah.
When there are other factors, let's say. But Tosis is bothered by the, you know, initial, let's say, implication that what we're really doing is using language of what? Of Merkav, when we mean Mishkav, you know, in the context of Azava. Why is Tosis bothered by that? Because
they seem to have different halachos. That by
this is a halachic difference with regard to
being metame begotten.
Yeah, yeah. Read it just very quickly.
Yes, this says Merkav Moshav Ein Dino Shava Denogeh BeMerkav Ein Tan Kibas Begotten Kidmucha Ktaras Kohanim Farish Mesekas Kalim VaHashla Kasha Luri Hechi Kamar DeBeIsha Kruy Moshav Im. Ratzalomar afila okaf, she ishlo din merkav afi isha shina kasev lekrosa moshav ladavar dar kavod. Dal kaman mishani mishem biusa digmala orchalu alma lishanos alma lishanos adavar mimashu inlechtov dar kavod.
In other words, you don't dar kavod is, you know, when you have, you know, an option, you know, but we're not going to sacrifice truth or accuracy. Right, for again, we might sacrifice some truth or accuracy, I don't know, for particularly profane language, evil path. But in terms of, you know, Lashon Maguna, saying it, you know, in a nicer way, being positive, not negative, you know, we don't do that. So we're going to sacrifice halachic precision for that? Right? And what's the answer?
Yes, so the answer is Vanilla Ree. Dachi Perusha, Visha Kriya Moshav, me reboy decra. The Moshav, the Haki Yisav Taras Kornim, Asher Hi Yoshav Salav, Zem Moshav, Kli, Zem Merkav. Lamdino Akasa, Vasaper Balashan Nikiash, Lo Kasbu, Behedja, Kamovazav.
What's the answer?
That we're not actually lacking any halachic precision, but we just learn it from the reboy decra and just not before.
Yeah, exactly. Although, again, it's interesting that Koin Tetosis, that the Torah would choose to be marba halacha, you know, from a drasha, you know, rather than beforish bakra, for the sake of, you know, lasha maguna. Right? Now, again, that could be because Bali Tosis, again, is, you know, my general view based on impression. Again, there are exceptions, but I was asked this actually over Shabbos as well. I think not publicly, but afterwards. And that is, you know, how we look at drashos in general and the language of, you know, of the Kra. So my general view is that, like, for somebody like the Rambam, you know, it's always a huge deal, you know, if something is not derived from a forest by Kra, but instead by a drasha. And the discrepancy between those two things is important. We even had it again recently. We talked about it a little bit, you know, Chatzishir, you know, that some farshim say that's a pshat in the Rambam, that there's no din of, you know, mujba v'yomid, nishba l'kaimis ha-mitzvah, you know, when it comes to Chatzishir, because it isn't mefurish bakra. Meaning, in general, there's a difference between the level of things that are mefurish bakra and not. So if the Rambam were to give the answer of Tosis here, that would be a bigger deal. You know, it'd be saying we, you know, prefer to use a lesser, you know, form, something that compromises, you know, this din, you know, for the sake of Lashon Meguna. Whereas I believe that Bali, again, the Rambam may not have said it. He might have a different answer to this question. Or he might say that, you know, in Achanami, this Tosa says is true, and there's also very good, consistent reason why this particular halacha, you know, is just as easily transmitted perfectly accurately by a drasha, to detail, than by Mefurish Bakra. This doesn't need Mefurish Bakra. Or maybe there's even a better reason. Maybe it's tafkan a yisum, an application, etc. But for the Bali Tosis generally, they mostly, I think, believe that how drashos, how dinim are learned is, you know, mostly unfathomable, at least that there's no default assumption that a mefurish bakra is superior to a riboy. And therefore, you know, the answer here doesn't really necessarily connote, right, they were making a big sacrifice for Maguna. It's more like, you know, a neutral kind of a situation. So that's, I think, an interesting question. Like, how far would we go? If we could get halachic technical accuracy, you know, but lose some conceptual advantage. Either way, what Tosis raises, though, you know, when you take a step back, is, you know, is part of this larger question and topic. Namely, when you have two values, how far are you willing to sacrifice, you know, one for the other? And in a way, a lot of the discussions of the use of language in the Torah, right, go, you know, touch on like a parallel, you know, but somewhat ironically different issue. And that is, will the Torah use imprecise language, right, in order to better convey, you know, the result? And that, of course, is the topic of Dibur Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam, you know, as it relates to so many things, but specifically, you know, the issue of anthropomorphism, meaning, you know, the one of the Kari Emunah of the Rambam, of course, is that the Rabbonu Sholem is not a physical being, and that depicting him in a physical way, you know, is a huge violation. That's why, you know, borders on Avodah Zarah, or in some cases crosses into Avodah Zarah. But even, you know, the use of language, not just graphically, but even language, you know, you have to be careful. This is the issue of, you know, negative theology or negative attributes. You know, what we're saying is that when we speak about, you know, Yara Chazaka, or we call the Rabbanu Shalom Rachum V'Chanun, that, you know, we're somewhat using in inadequate or imprecise language. But there, of course, there are two issues. One is, you know, A, we don't necessarily have a choice. It might be the only way to convey, you know, because language is inadequate when it comes to, you know, the Rabbono Shel Olam. And that's a theme of the Rambam, certainly develops in or Vuchim, adequacy of language. So we don't have a choice. You know, if the alternative is not to say anything, you know, then Dibur Torah Kilashon B'nei Adam. But the, you know, there's a famous exchange between the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchos Tshuva, where when the Rambam, you know, formulates, you know, this prohibition against anthropomorphism, so the Ravid says, you know, again, depending on the girsa, Gedolim V'tovim Mimenu, whatever, how sharp the Ravid's rebuke is a matter of girsos. But the Rav basically says that, you know, don't be so critical of people, you know, who sometimes use graphic language, you know, because that's the only way to convey or to transmit, you know, in an effective way, what they want to say about the Rabbono Shel Olam. So it's an interesting question. And the Chovos HaVavos has a famous discussion of this as well, where he basically says, you know, if you didn't use some sort of Dibur Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam, some sort of more, you know, personalized or physical, you know, fatherly language, then you couldn't convey the Rabbono Shel Olam as a, you know, meaningful figure in people's lives. Like, you know, Avinu Malkeinu, right? It might be imprecise in some respects, but you need to convey, you know, the sense of hashgacha, you know, the paternal aspect, you know. So if the goal is to enhance, it's not just a question of, well, we, you know, our hands are tied. We're either going to say nothing or we're going to say things that are true only in a negative way or only in a somewhat imprecise way. You know, if that's the only consideration, then, you know, be as precise as you can. And there's no excuse for going over that line, which is kind of the Rambam's view. Again, the Rambam puts a huge premium, not only on Torah Shebichsav's, you know, makor for halacha, but on, you know, the theological importance of, you know, having the right beliefs and the right perspective on the Rabbono Shel Olam. So he machmir, that tremendous counter pressure. So say it, or no other way to transmit to the people. But let's say you have a situation where there are alternatives and you can hammer home this point, you know, but your effectiveness in inculcating, you know, the experience of the Rabbono Shel Olam and, you know, his, you know, total focus, as the Rambam totally believes too. Like, you know, the Rambam in Perek Yud Hilchos Tshuva, when he speaks about, you know, Avas Hashem, you know, being, you know, a total Lelokim, Kel Chai. So, I mean, the Rambam knows that, and the Rambam totally embraces that idea. He just thinks the Afal Pichein, or maybe the best kiyum in that is being careful in the language that you use. But what Chovos HaVavos is writing was, you know, sometimes educationally, especially different phases in people's education, you know, the only way to accurately convey, you know, the truth is imprecisely, you know? So that's an interesting question. Afilu, I guess it's a kind of B'delais Breira, but not B'delais Breira, we don't have the vocabulary, but the B'delais Breira, we don't have the vocabulary which educationally will be, you know, will accomplish, you know, the ambitious goal, you know, that Jewish education, you know, or communication has. So that becomes a very interesting question. We have it in our sugya, you know, with regard to halachic accuracy, but what about hashkafic accuracy? And what about the dialectic of hashkafic accuracy, you know, which has to weigh, you know, the theological, you know, truth and its significance, certainly great in the Rambam's world, in anybody's world, but especially for the Rambam's world, as opposed to, again, the emotional, you know, interactional, you know, Klal Yisrael and every individual, you know, sense at the same time. So that's really, I mean, it's much more to talk about here, obviously, but that is a fascinating issue that's a parallel to the issue here. If it wasn't for the great promise of language, you know, as the Davar Shebikdusha, and I think that's also why, you know, Targumim are, as we said before, problematic, but they're also necessary. Ba'er Heitev B'Shivim Lashon, right? The Basid, which was B'Shivim Lashon. You know, so on the one hand, you have this idea that language is a Davar Shebikdusha, and that raises the stakes. You know, but at the same time, what you want to accomplish through language, whether it's halachic accuracy or, you know, theological, philosophical, you know, hashgacha, you know, focused, you know, education, you know, that makes it very challenging to balance, you know, these particular things. So the Ktsara, the Meguna, the Dibra Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam, you know, the question of accuracy and even the hierarchy of the best way to convey halachic principles, maybe the Beit, to be in the Rambam and Tosfos, would be relevant here, as opposed to and in conjunction with, like, you know, making something clear, you know, reaching the audience and reaching them accurately, sometimes through, ironically, inaccuracy. That's a fascinating problem and question, which all educators, even if it's not inaccurate language, but, you know, again, you know, in communication, you know, how much do you dilute, you know, and how much do you obfuscate? You know, people who are committed and who are of a certain level of sophistication, you know, it's certainly our obligation for them to represent Torah and Halacha and the Rabbono Shel Olam and you know, Bereishis and everything as precisely as possible. Sometimes that requires, you know, complexity, you know, which takes more time and is more difficult to wrap your head around or your arms around, you know, as the case may be. But that is really important. And on the highest levels, I firmly believe that that's our obligation. At the same time, you know, if you're dealing with a different audience or a different phase and stage, you know, to do that would be destructive. It certainly wouldn't be effective. So then the question becomes, you know, how to balance, you know, how to convey that there's more to it, you know, and how not to dilute it. Again, the temptation sometimes is to dilute it, to make it popular, you know, just because it becomes a, how many hits did you get, you know, and how many gigs do you, you know, get invited to? That could be, you know, doesn't start that way usually, but it can be that, and you have to be very careful to avoid that. As heady as it is and understandable as it is, you know, the ego is a powerful, powerful thing. But at the same time, you know, between that, you know, which is obviously wrong, you know, and being, you know, maximalist, you know, from the perspective of what you would do if you did have, you know, an audience ready to receive it and accept it, you know, there's such a huge range. So somebody who's being Marbitz Torah, you know, in a responsible way, has to know who he's speaking to. And to, you know, think very carefully. And sometimes people make mistakes, and that's fine, you know, in the process of figuring it out. And when you speak to an audience that is mixed, and when you speak to an audience and it's taped, you know, then that complicates things further. Just as when you write and you put something, you know, to paper in an enduring way, you know, there are other challenges. Okay, that's been way too much time on that, but maybe that's like a little bit of Monday for her. Okay. So next, let's continue let's continue to the next part. Ezra?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Continuing the Gemara?
Yeah. Where were we? I think we're up to Harwarma or almost. Oh, no, a little bit more. Just going to take a couple just to see how serious it is, just to Hanutre Talmidi, I think that's what you're up to.
Yeah. Sorry.
Hanutre Talmidi Davi Yosvi Kamei Derav. Chad Omer Shavtinon, Shavitinon, Haishmaitza Kedavar Akher Misan Kon. Go ahead.
Chad Omer Shavitinon. So Haishmaitza Kigidi Misan Kon. Velo Shnai Rabba Hadi Da'ich. Da'ich Hanu Trey Tamida.
What is that?
So that one, he used the Lashon Maguna of like a Chazer, I think.
Yeah. And again, it's just so, I mean, it's just, you know, these, you know, it's just so fascinating because that is so tame. You know, again, we live in a world where you just, you know, it's so offensive language has become, you know, totally accepted in the culture, you know, for a long, long time. But in the last 10, 15 years, like, you know, much more so. And again, it's totally inconsistent with supposedly, you know, sensitivity to others, not objectifying things, not being crude and not promoting, you know, either violence or, you know, a lack of, you know, or personal respect on important issues. Totally hypocritical, totally counterproductive. But in the Gemara, you know, he didn't have anything. There's this Talmud because he, you know, the Sinach, I'm exhausted like a davar acher, which Chazal say probably references to a chazer. You know, that wouldn't get bleeped or beeped or whatever it is, you know, not even 30 years, not even in the 50s, you know. So the standards here are very high. They're very high. So it could be that we're, you know, that's culturally dissonant is certainly true. And I think, you know, vive la difference. You know, not only look where it gets people, even if we didn't know that, it's just, I think, a very inspirational kind of a thing. Okay, let's continue. The next one, similarly.
Yeah. So, Hanu Trey Tamide Da Vyasvi Kamei De Hillel V'chad Minayi Rav Yochanan V'Zakai Bar Mila Kamei De Revi V'chad Minayi Rav Yochanan Rav Yochanan V'chad Amar V'nei Ma Bo'tzer and V'tara V'in Moskin V'tara V'chad Amar V'nei Ma Bo'tzer and V'tara V'moskin V'tumah. So Amar Muftach Ani Bezeshemora Hora B'Yisrael Lo Yom Tovim Latim Achora Hora B'Yisrael.
Okay, so here again, it's in the pause. You know, he avoided saying Metame, you know, and he said, you know, I see big things for him. Now, presumably, he was also, you know, a very good Talmud who showed a lot of potential. But what he was saying was, you know, if he has that kind of sensitivity, you know, and he wasn't criticizing in this case because the other fellow didn't say anything wrong at all. You know, but he was saying that hypersensitivity, you know, is consistent with somebody who, you know, should, you know, and wants to, you know, have an impact, you know, on others. You know, somebody who's selfless and who has this acute, I guess, kedusha, you know, orientation. Interesting. Again, I find it very inspirational. Okay, let's continue.
Yeah. So Hanu Tvasa Kahani, Chadamar Luhu, Hegiani Kafel, Vachadamar Hegiani Kazayas.
Cool. What's a good poll? Yeah. Chadamar Hegiani Kazayas.
Yeah. Vachadamar Hegiani Kazanav, Halitina, Sabad
Kuznav Halta. Like the whatever of a lizard.
Sabad Kuakar of Umatsu Bo Shemet Pso. Vatanya.
Yeah. So here again, another example. Again, it doesn't seem so terribly, you know, offensive, to be honest, but they were offended by it. Again, you could say, you know, language, and it is partly true that language and, you know, what offends is a culturally contextual, you know, kind of a thing. To some extent, that is true. But, you know, aval pichein, again, this kind of hyper, you know, sensitivity to language is a very fascinating thing. This halacha, of course, of shemetz and shachatz is also interesting. Whether shemetz means arayos or shemetz means avodah zarah, like Rabbeinu Chananel, that Tosas quotes as well. Also interesting thing is the shachatz. What is the shachatz?
Yeah, I think we say he was arrogant. Rashi says
Yeah. But then, so who cares? So he's arrogant. That makes him a pasul kahuna. So Rashi quotes, right? Right, right? Very high standard, right? So again, just to note, this din that Rashi is quoting is a Gemara in Menachos and Daf Yud Ches. I don't want to go into it. It's an important, you know, again, principle, but not something we're going to examine at the moment, but in terms of kahuna. But it's just worth noting that the Rambam, the Rambam Hilchos Bikurim, this idea that, Kohen, that the way he relates to his opportunities, can disqualify him from kahuna. It's just interesting to note that the Rambam expands this. The Rambam says that the Rambam expands this in two ways. Number one, he makes it not just a din in avoda, which is what the Gemara says it about, but a din in matnos kahuna more generally. Rambam says arba v'yesra matanos nitnu lekohanim v'kulam mifurasha batora. This parak aleph ilchos bikurim halacha aleph v'al kula nichrasa bris la'aron. The kohen she'ena moda bahen ain't no chelik b'kahuna. They ain't no sim lo matana mehen. So the Rambam, fascinating, the Rambam, this idea, the Rambam integrates into the first halacha of Hilchos Bikurim. He doesn't see it as some side issue. And he also, so he expands it in two ways. Number one, by making it very prominent in Perek Aleph Halach Aleph, about, Kedusha legabe matnas kahuna. Also, he expanded it not only from avoda, but to matnas kahuna itself. That's something that the Radvaz notes. Yesh isha lamalo tafas rabenu seder atana shepasach. No, I'm sorry, that's a different question. No. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I meant to quote the Kesa Mishnah. The eni odeh lama shina rabenu halashon. The koshke b'makom she'efsha shiava bimenu shinu havana sa'inyan. So this is an interesting thing that the Rambam, something to remember when you think about is this a din in matnas kuna or an avodah kuna? The Rambam equates them. He actually thinks matnas kuna is also kind of avoda, or because even the avoda is just a super, mishulchan gavoa, kazacho. But either way, the Rambam thought this, had a lot to do with, kedushas kahuna. It sounds like it's a more limited halacha, but either way, very interesting phenomenon. Okay, let's continue. We'll stop soon, but I want to get in the issue at least of Ahu Arma. Go ahead.
Yeah, so
the very famous story.
Yeah. Ahu Arma davasalik v'achel. Davasalik v'achel psachim yushlaim. So Amar ksiv kol v'nichar lo yochabo, kol aro lo yochabo, v'anah ha'kachona mishufrei dishuv.
He's boasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda ben Besira, mikasafu lach ma'alya. So Amalei lo, ki salka slahatsam emo lohu, safu le ma'alya. Ki salak lohu, Amalei
ma'alya. Right, he set him up.
Yeah, exactly. So Amalei,
They said like this is this is curious, like what's going on here. He gave them, a message, and they picked up on it. So, Bad Kubasrei, go ahead.
Yes, Bad Kubasrei, Vashkuchu, Darmahu, Vikatlua. So, Shalkuhu, Rabbi Yehuda ben Besira, Shalmach, Rabbi Yehuda ben Besira, Da'ab and Itzivin, Umitsudasach, Prusa,
Mishalai. It's a great story, right? There are, of course, two questions to consider here. I spent too much time speaking about Dabra Maguna. So maybe I can borrow for tomorrow. Either way, because this is a kind of hashkafic issues. So I'm going to continue. I'm just going to, you know, identify the two questions, speak about them for a minute, and then I want to continue. Well, regular time tomorrow, in other words, 2 o'clock. But I'm just going to continue with this. Either way, since I was there for Shabbos, so I got to speak about the Parsha and some of the themes. So, and I do want to get to Daf, you know, the Bedika parts of Dalid, and we still have a little bit to go. So tomorrow I'll finish talking about these issues at 2 o'clock. But what are the two questions that that arise here? Well, actually three issues. One is the question of Nemanus. We'll talk about that for a minute. No, that's a massive question. So we'll talk about that for a minute. Ezra, what's a Nemanus question?
Yeah, so Tosos brings up why he's believed that when he comes to the Beis HaMikdash that he's automatically a Jew.
The guy represented himself as a Jew, but you don't know him. Like, is there just, you know, Nemanus? If somebody says I'm a Jew, you just assume that he's a Jew. Now, Zedachon Neman Bisurin, right? So what does Tosos to say about that?
Yeah, so it says Mikanin Raya Shinamin Machaba Lefninu. Omri Yisrael, I need the shiny hacha, Rov Yisrael, Hayu Vazlina and Basaruba.
It was a Jewish place, or at least the people lining up for Korban Pesach, you know, are certainly mostly Jews, and therefore maybe here there's a din of Rov. It isn't that Echonem Bisurim to establish Kedushas Yisrael; it's Rov, right? In Tosas in Yevamos, you see Tosas in Yevamos,
is it?
Yeah. He has a different formulation a little bit.
Yeah, so he thinks he can bring a raya because he thinks there's a rove everywhere.
Yeah, he basically says, that's here he's saying maybe there's a rove of the people, you know, in this place or from where he comes or who are standing here. But Tosis ends up here, right? I actually finished Tosis first, then we'll get back, saying that, no, I mean, there's no raya from here, but it is true. Correct? Namely, that there's nemanus, you know, in identifying oneself as a Jew. Yeah, can I finish the Tosis very quickly?
Yeah.
And he would be believed. And what's the first case? The guy had some yuchsin issues or whatever. Right, so also they told him, you know, go to another town and marry somebody, you know, with yichus. Well, apparently, he doesn't have to prove who he is. Right. So from these gemaras, it seems apparent that when somebody presents himself as a Yisrael, that we believe him. Vad Amar Bacholeitz, go ahead, Misha Bavi Amar.
Yeah, Vad Amar Bacholeitz, Misha Bavi Amar, Ger Ani.
Okay, so basically what goes on here, and I don't want to go into this right now because this will take us far afield, but it's obviously a very critical issue, whether or not you believe somebody about his Kedushas Yisrael. There are a bunch of Gemaras that sound like we do. Our Gemara, the Gemaras in Yevamos, the first ones that are cited by Tosis. And then there's this last Gemara, which is Misha Bavi Amar, you know, a Gerani. Yachol, it sounds like we don't believe him. Right? And the question is, which is the main Gemara? And which is the exception, which is the rule? So one way to look at it is, and that's the beginning of Tosis, is that in Achanami, we don't, there's no, in Achanami, terms not apply to establish Kedushas Yisrael. Why not? Maybe it's, well, it doesn't apply in Davar Shebe'erva. Maybe the point of Davar Shebe'erva is, you know, how consequential it is. Right? If it's the Chomer Adavar, you know, so then establishing yourself as a Jew, you know, is certainly as Chomer or Chomer. What about all the Gemaras that seem to say we do believe in? In all those cases, there are other reinforcing factors. Like here, oh, there's a rov. And in that respect, Tosis in, you know, Yevamos has this fascinating comment that Ezra, that what? Also that there's rov, and he actually seems to hold that there. Except that his rov is also very striking. What's the rov there, Ezra?
Yeah, let me just pull it out. I think he says every situation is really a rov.
Right, what is the rov? Here it sounds like Tulsa would have said, oh, rov of the people here.
Yeah, so Tosas says there.
And then if you look down the side, there's Rabbi Kiveger, Gilyon HaShas. Right? Ezra?
Yeah. So the Gilyon HaShas.
He gives us some Mar Makomos.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what's fascinating is it sounds like Tosas and Yevamos and Tosas here are saying the same thing. Right? And they are in one respect, but not another respect. Right, Ezra? Meaning?
Yeah, the Maskala, they're both saying that we do believe someone, but the question is whether our Gemara himself could be a Raya.
Not just that.
Or whether we have the Rov.
Whether it's based on Rov, or whether it's based on simply on Nevanas. Let me make it clear. There are two questions. There's a practical question here. That's the bigger question, I guess, the one that clouds everything else. And that is, if a person comes forward and presents himself as a Jew, do we believe him or not? And Tosis here says, basically, the rule is yes. And Tosis in Yevamos says, yes. Correct? There's one Gemara that really seems to say no. The answer is that Gemara must be talking about a case where the are extenuating circumstances that are arrayas so. Correct? So in that respect, our Tosis here and the one in Yevamos are identical. But in a conceptual, on the conceptual realm, actually our Tosis and Tosis and Yevamos disagree. Because Artosa says the Gemara in Psachim isn't a Raya, because you could say there's a Rov. But the other Gemaras are a Raya, because even though there's no Rov, you're believed. So what are you believed on the basis of? The answer is Einechanem Bisurin. Whereas the Gemara in Yevamos is saying, Lamaisa, they're agreeing with the Psach across the board, probably, of Artosis. But they're saying it's never midin erechanem misurim alone. It's always midin rov. But it's a strange rov. It's meaning the pashas of Artosis is that it's a rubadisa come on. Right? The people are standing in line for the Korban Pesach. You know, it's a huge rov. Right? But there's a rov that anybody who claims something, you know, rove people who claim something really are that thing? That's a kosher rove? Well, why not? Well, number one, it's a ruba, you know, delesa come on, not a ruba disa come on. That's not so terrible. Sometimes the relationship we mentioned in Kulin, we never did that sugya, but still I owe it, you know, the relationship between Ruba Disa Kamon, Ruba Lesa Kamon, the Rashi and Yud Aleph Amud Aleph and Chulin. You know, but again, we made allusion to it earlier in the year, last year, for those who were here, when we talked about the, you know, Efshel Levar Tzarech Levar, which we're going to get back to very soon in Pesachim, the relationship between Ruba Isa and Ruba Lesa. It's a mixed bag, which is stronger. Okay, but it's more than that. Meaning, it kind of begs the question to say everybody who asked this question, Rover, the people who asked this question are, you know, are in the affirmative. Usually when we invoke a Rov, the Rov is separate from, the Rov is a way of applying, right? So this artosis is a little bit like that too. What, Rov are the people standing in line for the Korban Pesach are Jews and therefore everybody is? The whole question is whether he's an exception or not. Even our Rov is strange, but their Rov is even stranger. It's even more particular and less concerned with, let's say, segmenting off, you know, the Mavar or the Machria from the latest Asafek. Like all people who ask this, who come to be who claim that they were Mizgayer, you know, were Mizgayer. Right, but the Miyuta that don't maybe should determine that you can't use that as a Rove. They'll say a Rove of red-haired people, I don't know, you know, or Rove, people from, you know, a certain, you know, cultural environment, I don't, whatever it is. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why it's not so simple. But either way, I don't want to dwell on it. What emerges, I think there could be three shitas. One is, if you want to think that the other Gemara in Yevamos is Ikar, and that it's not talking about extenuating circumstances. So what you want to say is, fundamentally, there is no presumed Edechem Dem Misurim. This is like Davar Sheberva. It isn't Davar Sheberva. It's bigger than Davar Sheberva. Kedushas Yisrael isn't just Iser. Okay, that's A. B, that may be true, but we don't have to work with Edechem Dem Misurim. We can work with Rov. But then when you're working with Rov, the question is, what is a Rov? Like, how specific is Rov? And whether or not the Rov can be kind of answering the question directly, or it's something that is a little separate from the question that you invoke. That's A. And B, how specific can you be? Like, all, you know, blonde-haired, people from age, you know, X to Y, not all, you know, I mean, how do you assess Rov? Or is Rov based on, you know, the more identifiable Rovs, you know, where does he come from? You know, Rov people who speak Hebrew are Jewish. Okay. That's different than saying Rov people who claim they're Jewish are Jewish. Right? Or not. So that's an interesting. So I think there are three. Artos is saying, you could have thought it's Rov. Again, even here, like Rov people standing in line for Korban Pesach are Jewish. Therefore, he's Jewish. Rov people who claim they're Jewish are Jewish. Right? Or, you know, Eidechon Emeser. Okay. Good. That's question number one. What's question number two? Ezra, next Tosfos.
Rabbi, wouldn't the stakes matter also? Yeah. And if we're there might be a difference between whether we let you get married versus whether we're going to count you for a minion.
Yeah. In terms of Eidechon Emeser, for sure.
Yeah,
that's a question.
That's
a question in general. What is the, that goes to the question. I believe we discussed this. I don't remember if it was last year or not. But, you know, this is like, oh, maybe not. Maybe not last year. A couple years before that. I don't remember when Natan was around. But, you know, I think you were. The famous, you know, the Rambam. You know, Huksa Kadavar Beit Echad. You know, Rambam and Ilchos the Sanhedrin. And how that connects with the Sturebia, you know, and other Rambams. Namely, what happens when you have an Eidecha Nemam B'Yisurin, you know, that then applies, you know, in applying it to every text in which the question is asked, determine or just the Kamis Rambam. Rambam says, you know, that the Rambam addresses. It's quite, but there seems to be steers in the realm, and that's what the Nosei Kalim, you know, try to figure out. And the sugi in the end of Nadarim also, the Ftadi, you know. Once you're Makabel, once there's a Kabbalas Eidos, you know, about a certain status, and it's in the system, then applying it, even in areas whose standards would have precluded to begin with those, the acceptance of those facts, you know, matters.
Right, but is this even a Kabbalah say this? Because like Tosfos is saying, like, if someone says Yisrael Ani, but like Lechora in this case, was, does every single person who walks up to get the Korban Pesach says Yisrael Ani?
I guess implicitly. Walked up.
Right. He didn't say anything.
Right.
There's just, that's not really a Kabbalah say this. It's more just an implicit assumption that the people coming here are Jewish.
Right, but I guess the relevant context here, if you're going to ask the question already and need, you know, some sort of raya, then the implicit question is, are you Jewish? But as I say, are you Jewish for Karm Pesach? Are you Jewish for marriage? Make that happen. So that's the point of the Ram. Ram says, you know, if the Eid Echad comes and he says, you know, this is Chaylev, okay? And then 10 minutes later you eat it, you know, you're going to get Malkus for that. Eid Echad can't be Loka. It's Huchsuk Adavar. That's a different story. But in Yisrael B, in other cases, it's not so clear that that's operating. When do you say that? So is it, you know, let's say you go to court and there are four consequences for the question. Oh yeah, we discussed this in Shavuos, right? La'osral balabanu. That's when I discussed it. When do we talk about La'osral balabanu?
Or Bob in Kiddushin. In Shavuos we did also?
Mona or Kiyasalish.
Or Baba Kama, maybe. But not last year. Definitely not. It could have been a Baba Kama. Meaning the, right, like let's say two Adam come, right, and they testify about somebody. Right, and they say, we don't want to, you know, about he was Mizana or whatever, or her. So, you know, they say, L'osra ba'la banu. Is that Adam Shiyate Yachal Azim?
All right, the Noda Behuda. We do this in Sanhedrin, I think, also.
Yeah, I mean, it comes
right,
up a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
The Noda Behuda, the Beis Halevi, right? In issues of Eid Echad, it comes up because, again, so, right. These are interesting questions. If there are multiple applications, you know, we're going to have it again, you know, just for a minute. You know, who's Neman for Shmua Rechoka? Right? That's the Ritva. You know, can you, do you do Avelis when you hear about a Shmua Rechoka or a Shmua, anyway, Shmua from a Karov and from an Eid Echad? Right? It's an interesting question. Ramban and Taurus Adam that the Ritva quotes. So these are interesting questions. If there's like a primary Kabbalah Seidus that is Yisurim, you know, but then, you know, once it's in the system, you're applying it. That's kind of the Rambam's, you know, Huksa Kadavar Be'ed Acha. If there are initially multiple applications, or, you know, that are simultaneous, or the primary one is in a more, demanding area in terms of proofs in halacha, then maybe you can't even apply it to the lesser one. Right? So that's a really interesting question about Kabbalah Seidus, right? And about, we could call it selective nemanus, right? You know, when you're neman ledavar zeh, ve'eino neman ledavar acher. Interesting questions. Yeah. Okay. So that's, what about the next difficulty?
Yes, there's a question why Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira wasn't himself going up to bring karma.
So there are really actually two questions. One is a Tosa's question. Go read the Tosa very quickly.
Yes. Avigav de Gidi in Al Yasel Kriva, Rob Piskayam, Hayatla, Hashem Yehudlo. Rabbi Yehudah ben Beserah Shlo'ala Meregel Yishlomar Shlo'yo Karka Bo'heilo Karka Ozakin Haya Sheinu Yachol Lahalik Baraglav Depatrim Pesach Kmo Meriya Inami Netzivin Chutzlar Etu Kedimuchach Besifri Beparshas Re'e Ve'od Betargin Yerushalmi Ve'arach Ve'akad Ve'kalna Ve'eretz Shinar Betargin Ve'hadas Ve'netzivin Ve'ketis.
But it's even was Chutzlars. So you have three answers in Tosis about why Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira wasn't there for the Korban Pesach. And especially Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, you know, he's the Shachris person of Korban Pesach. So, yeah. So, Ein lo karka, Zokein Sheni Ochel Halak Paraglov, right? Or Chutzlars. And what's the issue?
So the Mishnah Malach asked that we don't see these psulim by Karim Pesach, really only by Lil Rega.
Yeah. So that's question, that's one question to discuss. And then there's a second question to discuss, and that's the one raised by the Minchas Chinuch. Namely?
Why is he killed, the Arma?
Yeah, why was, I wouldn't say the poor guy, because obviously he wasn't a very admirable character. Although it's like a strange thing. Like, did he want to just show up the Jews and get a free meal, or like was he a wannabe, you know, like he was listening to some shir online about Korban Pesach and he got all excited about it and, you know, he just wanted to join and participate, you know, whatever it is, you know, he deserved the death penalty on the basis of what? Okay, so I guess it's late. So let's pick up with that tomorrow. First, I'll pick up with that because I think it's an interesting little Korban Pesach and Ben Noach question. And then I want to talk about the, you know, relationship between Korban Pesach and the Peturim of Re'ia. I encourage you to look at for that at Tzlach and the Menachas Chinuch as well. And if you get a chance, I told you the Marik. I don't know if anybody has that sefer. I just picked it up last year. Marik has, you know, comments on Sefer Mitzvos. His comments on this I happened to pick up the other day. They're very interesting. But, you know, only if you have time. Then I want to talk briefly about this Avelos issue. I mean, the Ritva, and also if you get a chance to look at the Torah's Adam, I think it's page 237. And if you get a chance to look at the Rush in Moed Katan as well. Where's the Russian Moed Katan? Lamed Gimel, maybe? In the last part of Moed Katan. One second. Yeah, the Taurus Adam on page 237 in the Chevelle edition. The Rambam, I told you, it's Perek Zayin Halacha Beis. I think I said it wrong. In terms of, you know, again, Shmua Rechoka. And the Rush, where is the Rush? Moi Kotten Daf Chaf Lamed Aleph. Yeah, Lamed Beis. The third, no, it's Gimel Lamed Beis. And the Ritva's, you know, here. Just very quickly, because again, we don't have a chance to speak about these things so often. So speak about that. And then I want to just look at this Zrizin Gemara quickly also. You know, because I think it's an interesting, it's a curious thing. So the Havaminas of the Gemara are curious. And also just look at the Rambam and maybe in Hilchos Milah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Ches. The Gemara applies reason here to Bedikas Chomet, to Vayashkem Avram Boker, and to Milah, you know, at the earliest possible Zman. Is that really a good comparison? So try to talk about that briefly. And then I'll give you Mar Mekomis, either I'll send him out with Tavram today or if not tomorrow. The Fikach, I told you, look at Shulchan Aruch, the different deos, you know, just lahalacha, when you should do Bedikas Chametz and what they say about Talmud Torah Kavua and so on. I want to talk about that briefly. That I think I gave you already a look at. The Taz, the Magen Avram, Chok Yaakov, etc., how they, the Gra, how they read that Ravid, that I gave you already. Then I'll give you marmakomos for and then the next question, Achilos, you know, the question of Cheskoso Baduk, you know, and then we'll talk about Namonas, which gets us back a little bit to Efshalvar Tzorech Levar, L'Shaile. So these three Gemaras, basically, starting from Dalet Amud Aleph to Dalet Amud Beis, I'll try to do them pretty quickly if we can. And then to get back to Dalet Amud Beis, which is back to the Bitol issue. What is Bitol? Balirua, you know, the relation to Bedika, a chunk of which we've done already, but we need to, of course, supplement with the Rishonim, the main Rishonim on Dalet Amud Beis. Okay, so that's the plan for the next couple of days.